Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Today on Lulz, Brian and I discuss the bombshell revelation that Dave & Buster's is trying to introduce gambling at their establishments. We also found some ad revenue in the couch cushions, and we need your guys' help brainstorming a bankroll challenge for Brian and I to embark upon. We'll talk about all the best ball happenings as well. Today on Lulz, I'm Pete with Brick. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS guys pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right, Brian Hooper, this is Lulz. How are you doing?
Fantastic, Pete. Fantastic.
Specifically fantastic because of Dave & Buster's recent announcement this week, right?
Oh, that's big for me.
Well, you did. Like, I thought of you because, you know, you and your brother, right, were at Buffalo Wild Wings. I feel like the type of people that would go to Buffalo Wild Wings, fire off some single game parlays from their phone, might also be the type who'd like to go to Dave & Buster's and gamble.
Gamble on a little like skeet ball?
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit I had just seen this headline surface, and now I know it's gaining some more attention from lawmakers. I'll try to pull up this exact article here, but it's Dave & Buster's to allow customers to bet on arcade games, which is perfect, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, their clientele is probably a bunch of teenagers. So I guess Dave & Buster's is like 21 over, isn't it?
I think they try to cater to both, right? It's like the thing where like your kids go and you give them a bunch of tokens and they play games, but then like you can have a beer and play skee ball too or something.
Hmm.
Whatever.
Let's see. Have you ever gone to like an adult arcade, you know, not Dave & Buster's, but it's like one that's like a drinking arcade, you know?
Yeah. Like, what's the popular one? Barcade. I feel like
arcade. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've done them before. And you know what, you know where I used to go? I used to love, I guess I wasn't able to drink at the time, but, and I don't even know if it's there anymore, but for a while, do you remember these, the ESPN zones? Do you remember that thing?
Yep. Yeah, there was one in Chicago.
Yeah, as like a kid, I was obsessed with those. Like every time I had like a birthday party or something, or it was my birthday dinner, my parents were like, where do you want to go? I'm like, ESPN zone. Like, get to watch a game and play Cruising USA in between taking bites of chicken fingers? Sign me up.
the Varcade is pretty fun. You know, it's like, you know, you go there once or twice in your life. That's probably about enough.
Exactly. And there are, I mean, they get you those things. They are so expensive, to play the games and all of that stuff.
Yeah. Which is horseshit. It should be you know, $10 or whatever, and you can play all the games or something. And then you buy, and then you, you know, you buy the booze and food, and that's what they get, make their money off of.
So this is the from a New York Times article, actually from this morning. Customers will be able to digitally place cash bets at the arcades where people play games like skee-ball, billiards, and basketball shootouts. A technology company, Lucra, I see what they did with that name, is teaming up with Dave and Buster's to provide the digital betting service. Michael Madding, Lucra's chief operating officer, said in an interview on Wednesday that the company's product, here it comes, Brian, would be used for skill-based games at Dave & Buster's. He's done his research, including recreational activities for which the outcome is largely or entirely dependent on the knowledge. Oh, God, this is so good. The knowledge, ability, strength, speed, endurance, and intelligence of the participants, and is subject to the control of those participants. Holy shit, was that not workshopped in a boardroom?
Yeah, and with some lawyers.
That is incredible. This is, I feel like this is actually like a pretty wild development as far as like the different places like gambling could seep into our lives.
I feel like it's 90% publicity stunt.
What, explain how that would benefit them.
Just any press is good press. It's controversial. You know, the people could write a bunch of stories on it. I just don't see how much money they could even consider making if this even was legal and successful. Like, you know, maybe I don't know. I don't think I've ever been inside of Dave & Buster's, so maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but feels like to me that I can't pop a shot. Yeah, well, pop a shot. Yes.
Yes. Aaron in the chat says, I've got Pete minus 250 against Brick and pop a shot if anyone wants action. I, you know what? I guess I'm just so naive in that I hadn't really considered that angle, but this does feel vaguely like a Nathan for you. How do I revive your business idea? Where it's like, you know, I feel like in his version, it would be Chuck E. Cheese. They're like, we're losing customers. And he's like, you let these kids gamble real money at Chuck E. Cheese. And then everyone writes articles about it. We're plaguing the minds of our youth with gambling at Chuck E. Cheese. Like, this isn't that far from that.
just hear me out. Hear me out, guys. Let the children gamble. Did they like, is he like walking through, you know, Dave & Buster's, and he's just constantly seeing like, bet me then, bro, bet me.
You know? Yeah, dude, I hope that is like the ad for it. It's just like two guys at the skee ball talking shit, and they're like puffing out each other's chest, put some money on it. And then, well, at Dave & Buster's, you now can have skin in the game with your intense skee ball battles.
Dude, I'm 10 G's deep into Mortal Kombat right now. I don't know.
It's also wild though to think about like how this shit is going to get graded. Like, tell me this, Brian. If you're betting on someone playing skee ball, can't you already picture this? And the guy I'm going up against, I feel like he is stepping over the line, or he's reaching too far up the ramp that I think it's an illegal throw, and he's essentially cheating in this matchup that I have action on. Are they going to have fucking referees at Dave & Buster's to grade the integrity of these contests?
Good. Yeah. Good point. Yeah. they definitely have to be picky with their game selection. I wonder, you would think that if they were this far along, they'd have something worth like the arcade game makers, that like there's something behind the scenes there already done that they could just turn on and the user can gamble, you know?
Right.
Like if you're playing Mortal Kombat, you know, and it's like, do you want to play for money? Okay, put in $10 each.
I love this. So they tapped Mark Edelman, a law professor and the director of sports ethics at Baruch College. Or is that Baruch College in New York? Apologies to any alums there. I love this quote. If two people are competing against one another in skee ball, presuming that there is nothing unusual done in the skee ball game, and physical skill is actually going to determine the winner, there is no problem. There's a lot of what ifs there.
That's I didn't read this article, and or at least I didn't read this article, and I was joking about skee-ball, but it's actually an example in the article.
It's actually skee-ball.
They're actually talking about gambling on skee-ball. That yes. one you can't do because if they hit a piece of, if they bounce it off of a certain part of the skee-ball machine, does that count? You need a ref.
I've literally gotten busted. I remember this so vividly at a Chuck E. Cheese when I was a kid. I was there with my buddies. We're probably at the age where we're like slightly too old for
Chuck
E. Cheese.
You went up to the side and stuck it in?
Yep. Yeah. Just absolute print fest. Just ticket. and it was like, we thought we were so slick too because we were kind of like in the corner. And we go over there and like my mom ends up like walking up with like a Chuck E. Cheese employee who clearly saw us on the cameras or whatever. And they're like, yeah, you're going to have to forfeit these tickets. We know you guys are cheating over there. I am living proof that you can cheat at skee ball. I am fascinated to think how they actually think this would work.
Yeah, I think it's all bullshit.
Do you think we just fell right into our trap and our LOL's audience, who we know is just incredibly impressionable, is just going to be piling in their cars to head to DMBs to gamble right after the show?
Yeah, we need highly regulate this. Save people from themselves.
Why not get a DraftKings in the mix? Skee-ball DFS there.
I do like Madden gambling and stuff like that. I think that's pretty cool. Like playing Madden for money or I don't know. Just any video game I could see. I like even like what's the difference between, obviously this is Dave & Buster's is different, but like Madden or League of Legends. They're just gambling basically for their sponsorship and contracts or whatever.
Yeah.
And they cheat too, obviously. We know that for a fact.
I love this too. Lucre's pod products are available to people 18 and older, and the company allows its partners and consumers to set limits based on their needs and preferences. Our typical average contest size for Lucre's technology is around $5 to $10. $5 to $10. And it really does beg the question of like two dudes, like I've gone putt-putt with CSU Ram and Bales, and we played, we gambled on our putt-putt and just saying, hey, this is it. Like, that's a pretty normal occurrence. I assume that's how most gambling would occur at a Dave & Buster's. Hey, I bet you $5 I beat you in skee-ball. Who needs to pull up the Lucre-powered app to facilitate this? And I assume there's probably going to be some kind of VIG involved too. Like, who is this actually for? Because people who want to bet with their buddy can just bet with their buddies with no friction.
Yeah, it's only strangers.
So who's the creep at Dave & Buster's in the corner being like, I've been scouting this kid, one of the best skee-ball players I've ever said, and I am just hammering the money line on its next 25 matches.
It doesn't exist, but it does exist in like pool halls.
Yeah.
Right? Like it can exist, like if they build it. I mean, it's really, what's the difference between pool halls and League of Legends? If you think about it, it's really just because we think of Dave & Buster's as like a teenager's, arcade where you can buy beers.
Yeah, I guess the thing that I'm like hinting at with the skee-ball thing being absurd is like, if there was, say a pool hall where, really good local pool sharks were playing and people wanted to bet on that, where it was like an event, it was kind of structured. Like, that would make so much sense to me. But it's like, are they staging skee-ball tournaments? Like, maybe that would be a little bit more interesting, and then you're, like, betting on it. I'm just having a hard time imagining, like, two people walk up, and it's, like, in Fast and Furious, and they pull the starting line, and they just both kind of look at each other, and they're like, hey, you want to play for slips this round?
Man, isn't it great we don't got to hide in the shadows anymore? We can use the Lucre app.
I've been shamed by everyone in my life for wanting to bet every cent I have on skee-ball, and now finally I'm accepted by society.
I think it really is just the culture. If the culture of skee-ball was like pool, you know, I'm sure there's tons of pool sharks who would have loved to have a little middleman for 5% because they got stiffed on some guy running out on them or something.
Do you think that out there, there's some like skee ball purist who's just having a super rough day today? We used to play skee ball for the love of the game, and now gambling is infiltrating my one safe space.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's the inventor, the skee family, I'm sure is just rolling over in their grave.
Wow. Adam says David Buster's gambling could do wonders for Osmo's ping pong career. That is true.
Oh, I guarantee at that ping pong bar that in Chicago that Alex goes to, yeah, they're gambling. I guarantee it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine Alex, taking up a hobby just purely out of the love of the game. He's going to need a little skin in the game.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you need. You need the testosterone level to be kicked up. Couple beers going around, and then the challenges start, and that's when the Lucra executive shows up and like, hey, did you guys know you could use our app for just 2% processing fee?
My goodness. I also love the idea of like this is something Dave and Buster's PR would not want me to float, but it's like the kid who knows you're able to bet, but because he's not 18, you know, he's like tries to get his account on his mom's name, and now he's like betting on himself on skee ball on his mom's account. She's like, how did you make $400 today? Well, mom. Uh-oh, we summoned him. The money of ping pong is good, but Papa Shot is going to be off the charts.
Yeah, there's gambling at that bar, right, Alex? Just confirm I'm right. I know I'm right.
Alex, blink twice if there's gambling at that bar. Alex, by the way, since Brian and I are both too lazy to DM you, you want to come on Lulz again sometime in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, good idea. While you're here, I was speaking of another DFS goat. I was talking to Yuta, and he wants to start a beer pong bar. He says they're big in Asia, and he sent me a picture. Maybe I could send it to you. It actually looks pretty cool. So, and then it's like computerized, and I'm assuming this is his idea to gamble on it.
Yeah.
Here, look at this. I'll send it on Discord.
That one checks out to me the way that works too. And I mean, talk about like getting a good hustle on, man, like seeing your marks too. That would have like the pool element to it where there's the sharks, there's the sandbagging, there's all of those elements.
And you got to be able to hold your booze.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're but there'd have to be a referee, right? It's like, no, he didn't finish. Yeah. There's a little drop left in that.
Was there a bigger trope like in college from like, you know, every school or frat or whatever, I feel like had the guys who were like unusually good at beer pong, like way too good at it.
Oh yeah.
And then I also love my other favorite beer pong trope is like, I actually get better when I'm like pretty deep, when I'm pretty wasted, man. Like my game actually tightens up. Like
guys say that with golf all the time too.
Yeah. This is Yuta's future. This is what he wants.
Yeah. I told him the only problem is then that means you have to run a bar. And he's like, yeah, that's true. Never mind.
You know, I can see it because there's places in Vegas. What was it? What casino is it? Is it the Orleans? One of those places have it all set up where it's basically like a beer pong factory. Like you buy the pitchers, you get the tables or whatever. But yeah, standardizing a gambling element. And there's also that thing too, where it's like, I like the idea of you got to like play to stay on the table. Essentially, it's like, you know, winner stays on, almost like you're holding court in rec hoops. And then you're gambling on it there. I could see that having some legs.
Yeah.
O'Malley's was what I was thinking of.
I'm all for it all. Why not? Gives a shit.
Yeah. When was the last time you played beer pong?
Oh God, it's been a while. It's been a while. 10 years probably. Maybe a little less than that.
Now, then my next question would be, I wonder when the last time Yuta has played beer pong.
Yeah, last night. No, I don't know.
I feel like you're, it feels like you communicate a lot with Yuta. If he's just passing along, you know, beer pong business ideas to you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
What's he up to?
I was hoping some run good would, you know, I'd suck some of his run good from him, but it hasn't worked. Nah,
what, is he up to?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Grinding away.
Yeah. Let's see. Christopher, I got pickpocketed by a hooker at a beer pong bar in Vegas on a work trip. Now that's the start of a good story right there. Yeah, you got to be careful out there.
Or a country song.
Yeah. Alex, we have a challenger. Omar here says he's the best ping pong player in Illinois.
Probably not, Omar.
Well, please, I'm gonna be logging into my Lucra account to bet on Osmo here if that's the case.
Give me the odds on Omar. Yeah, if you want, if they should allow us to bet on these kids at Dave and Buster's, that would be fun.
What's funny about this picture, Brian, is like it doesn't actually show anyone playing beer pong. They're just all kind of like conversing around the table.
Yeah, it still looks pretty fun though, I gotta admit. I'd never really loved beer pong that much. It's kind of gross, you know.
Well, if you play it like, I feel like there was the R like that we probably grew up with playing beer pong, where you actually had the beer in the cups, and then you drank. Right, but now all the kids play; they put water in the cups, and then you. We live in a post-COVID society. People aren't drinking out of random cups that have people's germs in them everywhere.
Is that bullshit? That's water pong. That's not beer pong.
Yes, Brian. You know, COVID did kind of directly lead to the creation of LOLs, but it destroyed the beer pong you love.
Is there a more clear sign of the decline of society than water in beer pong cups, Pete?
I'd like to imagine you finally capitulate to Yuta, and you're like, all right, I'll write a check to invest in this business idea. And it's like the grand opening, and Brian shows up as one of the investors, and you walk in and you see all of the diamonds of cups just filled with water. And you just flip over a table, demand your money back. I don't want to be party to this kind of beer pong business.
I knew it was a scam.
Yeah. The new beer pong normal. Where's New York Times article about that?
No, fuck that shit. I'm like offended and angered.
Yeah,
that you told me.
I heard kids don't even drink. This sounds like I'm doing a bit, but I heard from youngins that kids don't even like drink beer at parties anymore. They got their White Claws. They got their other stuff. That no one's like bringing, a 36 rack of Coors Light to a party anymore. I hear that just doesn't happen, Brian.
I heard the same thing, but they do drink beers, but they're like craft beers or whatever.
Yeah,
and they instead of drinking, like 20. Dirt cheap shit beers, they drink like three beers.
Right, because if you're drinking an IPA with like 14.6 ABV, like you can only have three of them.
Well, that's kind of true. I think they just drink a lot less too, just like a lot. Yeah. They don't like black out and throw up every single Friday, Saturday,
Yeah. They told us if we got the vaccine, we could get real. Kombucha beer pong.
Well, at least there's alcohol in some of that. Jesus. James has the logic we all use, though, for sure.
The 3.5%?
Yeah. 3.5 if you're lucky. That's an even high quality beer right there. 3.5% for beer pong. That was another shitty thing about beer pong, is it's usually like the shittiest possible beer.
Right.
Because everyone's spilling it, and you're just going to get wasted anyway. So you're drinking like the gross.
It was always like Keystone Light. I feel like that was like a go-to one.
Or whatever the 30 pack cheapest was,
Yes.
Miller High Life or something.
Yeah. Does beer pong count for the Underdog Cardio Club? Yeah. I will check in with Nick Rudman and see if we can make a carve out, for beer pong here.
Not with water.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Billy, you got to catch up. This is what we've been talking about here, man. This is what we've been talking about, how it ruined the great game of beer pong.
You don't want to hear about like bad news, it's just like, I just don't want to hear it. Like, this is how I feel about you telling me about this water and the beer. Like, you should have just never told me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I think I'm curious if Yuta is familiar, but maybe that's the hook. Maybe that's the hook. We know about the pussification of beer pong in America. Mm-hmm. And at our new DFS meets Beer Pong Bar, we will be having real American beers, 3.5% ABV or less, in our cups. No water. But you will require a COVID test before anyone walks in.
You know, I do like I like the sports book, like little mini sports book bars. I wish those were more popular.
Yeah.
Like that's what B-Dub should be.
Yeah.
Instead of just all the TVs, you got some kiosks where you can lay down, you know, a little scratch.
The problem, and like this is what happens with Vegas sports books, right? Is there's like so few actually good Vegas sports books, or like they're good if you're one of the first eight people in there to get one of the seats.
The good ones, the shitty ones, no one's in them. At least last time I went. Yeah.
Well, because the shitty ones still don't even understand how like people watch, where they'll have like a million TVs, but they're all like 36 inches. It's
like, yeah. Right. Yeah. Like an old school horse racing thing. And their seats don't, their seats aren't comfortable. Yeah. But they do comp you pretty well if you want to drink for free, you can go one of those shitty sports books.
For sure. Yeah, you can do that. But even like, you know, some are like, you know, the Aria, you know, they have a nice sports book, like really nice big screens, but there's like 30 seats there. They don't want you camping out and watching a 4-hour football game. They want you churning over bets. So unless you like pony up for the VIP, reserve the table, they don't really give a shit about you. It's like the poker stuff too, right? Where like, no, they want you playing the other games where you spend money a lot faster.
This is what's going to happen in at Dave and Buster's. They're going to start getting rid of the skee ball machines because they want that quick money.
It would be really funny if like Dave and Buster's long-term plan is just to turn into a casino, and they're just trying to slowly get rid of all of these games as they just they become a front for
instead of just gambling, buying casinos.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are definitely good ones. Like the Circa setup. I actually don't know. Do you know what the gambling setup is there? They obviously have like the pool and the big TVs and all of that, but I actually haven't seen like their kiosk setup.
I didn't make it when I went. I didn't make it to Circa. We got stuck somewhere and just, you know what happens.
That's the other thing too about like sportsbook stuff. Normally, the times I'm interested in a Vegas sportsbook, I'm with a group of people, and mobilizing and finding seats for 6+ people in a group is an absolute nightmare. Like if you were just by yourself, like the sportsbook experience would probably be pretty easy. You just go wiggle your way into a seat or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you're with a group, it's an absolute nightmare trying to locate seats.
Mm. They're also kind of like surprised when you go up to bet, like in person. They just expect people to be betting on the apps and stuff. It's kind of weird. Yeah. Like I feel like the whole experience is going up to the terminal, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's getting the placing. Yeah, I guess this does make me old school, but it's like, and I would have this happen sometimes too with my buddies when we would go, where it's like, man, I have all this money. Like it was back, you know, like on an offshore or whatever. I'm just going to place this bet, you know, on my account instead of like going to the ATM and getting cash or whatever. But then I'm watching them all go up with their tickets and get that actual cash, and I'm just looking at a number going up.
Yeah,
and offshore. I'm like, this sucks, man. I want to feel that whole cold hard cash in my hands.
Yeah. And you can't lose that ticket, because if you lose that ticket, you're screwed, you know?
It's- yeah. Well, I even had some of them, Brian, where this was, you know, way back, even before I had like dabbled in an offshore when I do my Vegas trips. And, we would always sometimes like place a futures bet, normally be on, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was like the World Cup or something was happening that year, but my ticket won and I mailed the ticket to the Excalibur. You can do it. It's just an insane process. It takes like 2 months to process. You mail it, then 2 months later, Excalibur sends you a check back. But that's how you really stretch out and delay the gratification of a winning ticket, is mailing it to the casino.
That's, and so you bought that ticket when you were in Vegas or something,
like live, because you just go to the counter and then it's like, well, if it wins, and then the fine print on the bag, it's like, you can mail this to this address, it will send you back a check.
Wow. Yeah, that's a little delayed gratification. Whatever. I don't imagine ever placing a future, but I'm going to place a future bet while in Vegas.
Well, and then on top of it, like you said, then you are just terrified that you're going to lose that ticket. And you're like, I need to protect this at all costs, and all that good stuff.
Did I tell? I think I told you this when I was there. We're betting in sportsbook, and then some group of professional bettors came up to place a beard bet on an MMA fight. And so, like, I overheard him, and I went up to him and started talking to him, like, "Yeah, so and so's got us going to every book and betting down." I can't remember the fighter. I
think really discreet beards.
It was after they placed the bet.
Oh, okay.
It was like Dos Santos or somebody. So I'm like, I was with my buddy. I'm like, "Dude, we gotta go fucking get in on this bet." And of course he loses first round.
Absurd. Yeah, it is. I wonder too, like, I guess in Vegas, cause I mean, do you think in Vegas you'll ever be able to like play DFS? Or do you think the Vegas gambling industrial complex is so strong that they'll never allow policymakers to introduce other forms?
The second, the latter. They're so strong they'll never allow it, unless they get their cut. And I got to say this, Bullock, what you do is you put a cup to the side of the actual ones that's full of water, and you drop your balls in there and clean it out.
These days I'm way more conscious of the audio listeners, and just transition to just like a hard left turn back to the beer pong conversation, where you're driving in a car listening to Lulz and you're like, "What? Wait, why is Brian talking about sticky balls again right now?"
Beer pong balls. He says we don't want sticky balls. That's why it's okay to play with water in your beer pong. Well, you just put a cup to the side full of water. Come on, use your head here, guys. Use your head.
Speaking of our podcast feed, Brian, you recently told me I handle the stuff on YouTube, you handle the postings on audio, and you told me that we found some money in our proverbial couch cushions on the podcast that we now need to figure out a way to spend.
That's right. Yeah, so we actually made like 1400 smackers, Pete, but I signed up for the like the premium for us. It's probably a bad idea, but I figured maybe we get more downloads or something. So minus those fees, we have like 1,000 something.
We've paid $400 in premium fees.
Well, that's over 3 years.
Okay.
So we pay 110 or something. I'm canceling. I'm canceling this year. Obviously, I don't think it's moving our numbers at all.
Well, I guess we'll find out. You know, if in 3 more years they're like, "Here's your $60 in ad revenue," we'll be like, "Shit, we got to go back to that premium."
But yeah, we have $1,000 burning a hole in our pockets, Pete.
Look at this. There's so many options. We could angel invest in a new beer pong operation.
That's true.
We could meet at a Dave and Buster's in the middle of Massachusetts and Illinois and play heads up ski ball winner table.
I'm not playing you. You're a known cheater.
God damn it. Why did I reveal that? Look, I'm reformed. My mom, you know, taught me a hard lesson. I learned a lot that day at Chuck E. Cheese. I would never cheat in a game of ski ball ever again.
We can invest in that Lunca Technologies, maybe.
Ooh, that would be the smart thing. But I feel like we need to figure out a way to collectively spend this money. I think, you know, some kind of bankroll challenge. I mean, are there any hot shit coins now, Brian? Where you just run it up? Like, what's hot on the Reddits these days? Any meme stocks?
I mean, I'm not paying attention, but I mean, it's always a good gamble, right?
Shitcoin. Right. Any a dog? They're normally dog named. Right. Shitcoin.
Yeah. Or whatever's trendy, like a Taylor Swift coin or something.
Oh, does Taylor Swift coin exist?
Yes. There was one it I does? Saw that really okay. took off during the Super Bowl.
I like how just
it's probably
like
worthless now.
30 seconds ago, you're like, "Oh, I have no clue." And then, there's a very successful besides Taylor Swift coin.
You really should get in on.
Yes. Best ball is definitely on the table. It certainly delays the gratification of running up the bankroll challenge, but that could be part of our allocation.
Yeah, the problem with the best ball bankroll challenge is it's not daily.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of wait. I mean, we should save some for battle royale, some battle royales for sure.
Yeah. Do you know what would be a fun bit? This idea kind of gave it to me. So Spurry says buy 10% of someone's World Series of Poker. It would be really fun if we did do that for just like a really random person, like, which I know that there's not a lot of them who are posting that are true randoms, but I'm thinking of like, you know how we fell in love with the outlaw golf golfers who are just these low profile guys. What if we became like the biggest champion from some rando at the World Series of Poker, sweating every one of their chip stack updates and really making them the hero of LOLs? That could be fun.
I mean, there's that site that does DFS. Does the DFS staking. They have poker on there too. Why can't I think of the name of that site?
State Kings. Yeah.
Yeah.
I refuse to pay markup on it. You know, this is for the love of the game. But that could be fun. I mean, what? All these guys have their horses, right? Those guys all invest in the horse. They get to sweat it. I feel like we need... What is our version of a horse around LOLs, Brian?
Oh, God. I mean, Paul V kind of, I think, nailed it. That was our version of a horse.
Our version of a horse is Top Shot? That's so sad.
Oh, that horse we had to put down, Paul.
The Top Shot stuff is so cruel because like every once in a while, like you'll hear like a little buzz on Twitter, yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Top Shot.
And then you'll get a DM from Davis Maddock, sell everything.
And then you'll log on and it'll just be like, there's a one of one Victor Wembanyama that sold for like $69,000 and everything else is still just hemorrhaging on the market. Yeah. You're like, okay, yeah, that one card of the hottest player in the NBA right now is doing well. Thank you.
God, they did print fest. Yeah, that's a trigger warning. I'm sorry. Blame Paul.
Yeah.
Should have been a trigger warning on any Top Shot. We should get like a horn, like one of those, you know, you should get one of those modules that play sound effects on podcasts, you know?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of nerdy, did you see his post, his Twitter post earlier this morning?
Yes, I liked it. It was very funny. I felt like that would have been something I would have done.
Neil took down $100,000. And this is what happens when you're a guy like Brick who refuses to post screenshot wins, or you're a guy like Nerdy, you got to get really, really creative to sneak by a screenshot. Because if you just post it, no one gives a shit. Nerdy was a genius with this one. He threw everyone off the scent. This is the caption. Now I can finally afford the penis reduction surgery I so desperately need.
Bravo. Yeah.
Well done. Nerdy found the only way for someone of his caliber of DFS player to get to not have everyone mad at him for F1.
I was busy, but I was thinking of some responses, you know, like, you know, it was hard seeing you walk around, you know, I'm so glad for you. Now, you know, women in your life don't have to run away in fear. Another thing I thought was hilarious is like, he's got some concert, you know, like some Mozart concert coming up and the promoter's like looking, oh, I'm going to look at his... I'm gonna look at his Twitter account. Let's see here.
That's what
reduction surgery.
That's what I was thinking. Like, if someone stumbles upon this post and just being like, look at this guy who's full of shit, this cocky ass MF-er. And then he goes to his bio over here. Classical music, gardening, and home brewing. yeah.
What if this wasn't a bit at all? It's actually true.
Now then we need to bring back a DK chasing the goat series following Nerdy Tenor on his penis reduction surgery journey.
Right after Levitan's colonoscopy.
Yes, you never post all the times your penis was too big. Congratulations, Nerdy, on the surgery and I suppose the win.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Brian, if you had taken down 100K in the MLB 300K Mega Eights, would you have posted about it?
No.
Does nerdy,
especially because I'm running bad. I need to win like fucking three of those things.
Then you can really get your penis down to a nub. But does seeing Nerdy's style to victory lapping his win give you, maybe make you more likely to share a screenshot of winning, knowing you could go for such a joke like that?
Yeah, no, I mean, but I don't know. That's tough to top. So now I'm intimidated, you know, both multiple ways, actually.
Yeah. Well, I think, Brian, next time you win, you know, let's workshop. Because I think, you know, I think I bring it up like every 6 months or so, if you're ever going to screenshot a DFS win, but you're just too cool for it.
Well, there's also some behind the scenes stuff, Pete, where I'm not probably not going to be doing that anyways, which I can't really talk about, but maybe one day.
Yeah. Yeah, Brian, if you won Best Ball Mania, you would be forced to post it.
Oh, any best ball I would post for some reason. I don't care. And a millie maker too.
A millie maker or a best ball win. I mean, the best ball one will write itself. It'd be like, just goes to show you don't need to know who fucking Jonathan Mingo is to win $1 million.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. It's the number one world's biggest Bears fan.
Did you see the news that the Carolina Panthers drafted the next gen version of Jonathan Mingo this year? Mm-mm. Xavier Leggett, like very similar shaky prospect profile that they drafted very high, who's probably going to end up being a bust. Xavier Leggett also has this incredible voice. He's got this deep Southern drawl. Let's see if I can find it for you, Brian, and you can have another favorite Carolina Panther here. Here you go, Brian. I want you to hear this. All right. One set. Xavier. What
were they both like? He was like second round, right?
Leggett was first round.
He went first?
Or wait, was he top of the second? Or
I can't remember.
The 32nd overall pick. Yeah, first round.
And Mingo was around the same too, wasn't he?
Exactly.
I know a lot about Jonathan Mingo, actually.
Here you go, Brian. This is, for the audio listeners, this is Xavier Leggett.
You mind saying that one more time?
Did you have to pinch yourself when you woke up a Panther?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no. As soon as they called me, I got drafted, man, I was ready. I must have got me the call. God damn me. I must have packed me some smell good up my suitcase right away. Woke up in the morning around 9:30, said they'll call the PBO, bring me over yard, the mama made me some bacon and some grits. I must have tried the thing that hopped up in that jet. Scooty do it right over here, baby. They see you know, I'm right here in this prayer conference. I'm ready to get to work, man. Goddamn, I'm ready to get to work.
What was that feeling like when you...
I actually think that might not actually be him. I think that might be a parody version of it, but I did it.
Right after I got jealous, they was coming to get me up at 9:30 in the morning. I told them I'm going to be ready.
Deep down in the forest, man, they're going to cause a tree fall like 5,000 miles away, man. And ain't nobody see it. Nobody don't even happen. You know, the baby's born. Man, see that. Man,
does anyone dust have the actual clip? Is it just all parodying him?
What's he from, like Louisiana or something?
Yeah. He went to South Carolina. Play,
so that'll be great. That's just them telling me down that they want me on their team, man. A lot of coaches came and hollered at me before and after this process here, man. A lot of them, man, they say they got a buzz in their facility for me, man, and I'm just ready to see where I'm going to land.
For you, Brian, though, that's public enemy number one, because he's the one that's going to push Jonathan Mingo to the back burner.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Leggett is going to need Otani's translator. He is. He does need some work, I hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in, you know, 20, 30 years, he'll be able to do it.
Man, did you partake in any of the NFL draft? How much coverage did you watch?
I made it to the Bears second pick.
Okay.
I was watching you guys. I watched a decent amount of your show. Yeah. Yeah. I DM'd you while you were drafting, while you guys were streaming, and guys in the audience didn't want you guys to spoil the pick. I'm like, that's the whole reason I'm watching this fucking show.
I know it. I agreed with you. I think I had seen like multiple comments at first, so I kind of like got in my head. I'm like, all right, I'll just give people what they want. And then I, when you messaged me and when I started to think it through, and I was like, no, what are we doing here? Like,
yeah.
if you want to get spoiled or not get spoiled on the pick, you watch the broadcast. Like, there's a million, right. You can go watch the actual broadcast.
The entire point is that you're not watching the broadcast. And then I would like, I'd go and have to search for it myself and then find out who the pick is. And then I'm waiting for you guys. And then you're waiting, 'cause you all know. And then everyone's waiting to when you can finally talk about it. It's like, just fucking talk about it. But yeah, there's always people in chat, you know, who are.
What did you remind me? There was a comment on our video, because it was last week, right? We were recording right before the NFL draft. And someone commented, Brian was right about Michael Penix. And I don't remember what you said.
Oh, yeah. You know
what you said?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I said, the only way the Bears are going to have a good draft is if they just – it falls into them, like someone takes Penix in the top nine.
Oh, yeah. Which
– oh, we should look that clip up. That would have been a good clip.
I know.
If I said actually,
that. No, I'm pretty sure that is what you said, which is exactly what happened, because, like, the Falcons could have taken Rome. Like, they should have. They should have done what the Bears did. Let's get three weapons here. On offense, take Rome.
Yeah.
And then
he was locked there a decent amount. Or the at least they should have traded it. I mean, like, you don't need to be, I think, a expert draft analyst to nail that one.
Apparently you do, because the contrarian analytics guys are out in full force trying to defend it.
I saw Davis did a podcast with one. Yeah. And anyways, That is exactly what, because you know what happens when the Bears are, you know, left to their own devices and have to decide who to take? They take a punter. You know, they trade second round picks for, you know, Claypool.
What if the Bears were like, all right, we're building this new stadium near the water, and the wind is going to be even more of a factor. So we need a punter with just a hardy ass leg, which is why we took him 8th overall.
The only thing I thought is, like, punters still do cost, like, good ones. Like, don't they still cost like a couple million or something a year? Sure. So, like, yeah. I guess if you're paying someone nothing and you're going to have them for 5 years as your punter, like, okay, I guess, I don't know. But they had to have like the number one pick for a guy who's pretty much unanimous. And then just a team like the Falcons just make a boneheaded mood, so something falls into their lap. Otherwise, yeah, they would fuck it up. So, like, now the Bears might be good, and it's not because of the GM. It's not because of their front office.
Yeah. I mean, they did, like, there's clearly a thesis of, and it's almost just like copying what has worked, right? It's like, you get a quarterback and you get them weapons. Like, we've seen every good team in the league approach it this way of, like, you know what, these guys can't do it all on their own unless you have Patrick Mahomes. Let's get them weapons. And so the Bears are like, okay, we're getting a new quarterback, we already have DJ Moore, let's get Keenan Allen in free agency, and let's draft a top pass catcher and just set him up completely to succeed. It's like, that's not a bad strategy, even if you're copying what other teams doing. Like, at least you're copying the right things.
Yeah. Pete, they traded for Keenan Allen. Maybe you should keep up on your NFL.
I forgot the reason I had that in my head is because the Chargers kept saying he was a cut candidate because of his
wow.
What did they manage out of it? Like a fourth round
pick. Yeah. The Bears probably didn't even have to give that up. And with the Falcons pick too, like the analytics bros, there's also like a team making mistake after mistake, you know, like the head coach was like universally, people thought he was a bad head coach. Right. They're like Desmond Ridder, not utilizing their top players. I don't know. There's other things too. The Falcons are just making mistake after mistake. At a certain point, you have to go, this is just a bad front office. So this is probably a stupid move, even if Penix turns out to be good.
Yeah. It dovetails. It was funny because we were having this conversation last week about all the different cooks in the kitchen and how hard it must be to steer an organizational ship in like a logically coherent direction that isn't influenced by a lot of different people. And then you saw the clip of like Arthur Blank, the owner, coming down and like having that heated conversation. It's like, doesn't seem like the GM and the owner were on the same page with that pick.
No, exactly. Yeah. You need one person who's in the ownership group so they can think long term too. Who's the guy you pointed out who like let the cat out of the bag? He's like, oh, I'm just going to trade picks. I know I only got a couple years. Yeah,
Bean on the Bills GM.
There you go. Yeah. So I agree 100%. You need one CEO making a decision with the long term in mind. And just these some of these organizations, they're, I think the Falcons and the Bears. The Bears are going to – Bears look like they might have lucked out.
Yeah. The – One of the other things about there's like 19 different reasons about why that move was bad, but one I actually haven't heard discussed a ton, maybe it has, but I think I've missed it, is how important it is to get the feedback right away of whether an early draft pick is good or not. You know, where it's like part of the other thing too is like if you draft these quarterbacks early, like the Commanders are going to find out if Jaden Daniels is good or not. The Bears are going to find out right away if Caleb Williams is good or not. And yeah, they're going to have a long leash, their early picks, but you're going to get all of this early feedback that's going to inform what you do. Like the Jets, they got their feedback. Zach Wilson sucks. And then they were able to start to break ties, bench him, finally get rid of him. The Falcons are potentially getting a double whammy of one, they're not going to know whether he's good or not. And when they find out, they might have wasted 2 years. Like at least when you draft that guy, you play him right away. And then you can reset the clock again of, all right, let's move on to another one. But you're delaying that process even further, which just feels like such a dangerous game to play.
Yeah. It's remember the Trubisky was after they signed, what's his name? From the Buccaneers. Who was the guy who they signed from the Buccaneers? God, why can't I think?
Oh, Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way worse because it's Kirk Cousins and you're paying him $100 million instead of whatever the Bears gave him 50 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very similar. That you just gotta find out faster. The Kirk also with Cousins, you're just gonna piss him off. You're pissing off your star quarterback. That's one less asset that they would have for this year.
And I feel like they can, you know, a positive example of it working out is kind of what the Packers did, right? Where they drafted Jordan Love, Rodgers was pissed off. They put Love on the bench for multiple years. It was still looking really dicey until the second half of last year. And then everyone's like, man, Jordan Love is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It worked out. But like, if he wasn't, imagine spending that pick, pissing off the incumbent, waiting all this time and then still having to go out and find your franchise quarterback. Like they almost got bailed out from a bad process.
Well, I mean, even Aaron Rodgers himself under Brett Favre, they basically wasted 3 years of a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right. Yeah. That's the Packers MO.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so dumb. And with these organizations, you know, it's kind of like I'm thinking of another example. I know it's NBA, but like Steph Curry with Golden State, like the only reason Golden State was in the position they are is because of morons like the Timberwolves GM who got canned. Bill Simmons used to rip on him constantly. I can't remember his name, but taking Johnny Flynn and Marco Rubio, both guards ahead of Steph Curry.
Yeah.
And then you got a Hall of Fame franchise player who just fell into your lap. I think they were considering trading the pick, but because it so obviously screwed up this other team or teams screwed up so badly that you have, I mean, you could say the thing with Mahomes, I guess too.
Yeah.
Khan. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It just has to, although I think, two trigger warnings.
Your show. Yeah, sorry, Top guys. Shot David Khan. We are here to trigger you.
That guy is definitely triggering. But anyways, yeah, just that idea of these franchises, they need, like the Bears and the Falcons, they need you don't need to be making decisions, you know, Arthur Blank or whoever made that final choice. What you need to do is hope other people screw up so blatantly that it just falls into your lap or completely hire someone new.
Right. Yeah. It goes back to that thing we're talking about too, of like the timelines and the incentives are different. Like the new coach comes in, he's like, give me a quarterback right now. right? Like, give me Kirk Cousins. Like, I can make this offense hum if you give me Kirk Cousins right now. And they're like, done. You got it. Yeah. And then the owner or the GM's like, but man, I really want to kind of cover our ass long term. What if we never pick high again? And so it's like one of them's playing a super long view. Michael Penix, like, hey, he could sit for 4 years. And then Raheem Morris is incentivized to get wins right away. And what is best in totality for the organization now ends up in this gross melting pot of ideas.
It's like, what was he, the fifth quarterback taken or whatever by that point?
The fourth, yeah.
Fourth quarterback.
He went ahead of J.J. McCarthy, who everyone preferred over Michael Penix. Right,
yeah. It's like, no, those idiots. They drafted those guys way too early. It was Penix who should have been up in the top five. No, probably unlikely.
It is so funny, too, because, and again, not saying I should be a GM making these decisions, but it's like the logic I go through when I'm in a fantasy draft and I need a quarterback is I look at the teams around me, and then two, I'm like, oh, there's four other quarterbacks that I'm not even interested in that have a higher ADP than me. I have coverage. I can push this a little more because these guys are going to go first before I even have to consider it. But the benefit the Falcons have that we don't have in a fantasy draft is they can move back. Like, they can move back and get into the spot where they get their guy and pick up extra assets. And they just said, no, we're going full Leroy Jenkins. We're jumping ahead of ADP, not getting any extra value and blowing our load.
I was thinking about that in the car the other day, what you just said. I'm not saying I would be a good GM. I'm changing my mind. I think you would, or I would, or a lot of people would be better GMs than some of these, because at least you would like look out and hire some interesting people and do like interesting, just new, interesting approaches. I'm sure you would, not saying that you could read the tape and you would know, ball better than anyone.
To people I trust. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We try to do it like a modern way. You try to beat DFS the same way. But I get these, like, I don't even know if you call them old school or just, just brain dead GMs.
The football guys. Yeah.
I seriously think you could get people off the streets. I know, like, it's ridiculous growing up with sports radio and listening to the meatheads calling the sports radio. You're like, no, the GMs know better. I think we're past that. I think there's enough people online where you could find someone online. I mean, honestly, like the McCaskey Bears ownership group or someone, they should look out instead of just this rotating cycle of assistants and the assistants getting promoted, and then okay, now you're running the Bills. Okay, now the Bills coach is going to be running the Dolphins, or whatever. Like, stop that cycle and like look online for, I don't know, guys from ship chasing,
No, this is what you do, Brian. You head down to the local ping pong hall. You try to find one of these guys who's cleaning up, maybe has a past in creating a successful DFS analytics site where they originate their own projections, and you tap that guy to be your next GM. I could see it.
The ski ball players.
The ski ball players. Brian, in what, 2 minutes here when we end, you are going to go do a draft with Neil Orfield, a man who has picked up my baton of streaming all 150 of his Best Ball Mania drafts. Are you sure he even wants to hang out with you, or is he just trying to get a draft in?
He's just trying to get a draft in. He said, I can't talk. I just have to stay on stream. I can't say anything. He's going for the record of the oldest man, a person to max the BBM.
I feel bad that I ruined him just being able to say the only person to stream all 150 of the drafts, that the qualifier he chose was the oldest. Like, there are so many other ways you could say to do it the fastest. I'm going to be done streaming all of these by July. I'm going to do these all, but he decided to go with, I will be the oldest man to do it.
It's pretty sharp, I think, because you can't, there's nothing you could do about it. Right?
I can do about it. How old are you, Neil? I'm going to set my watch in about 6 years. I'm going to circle back to this challenge, bud. That's what I'm going to be able to do about it.
Neil passes away when he's like 92 and you're like, I just got another 5 years.
Yeah. I'm going to come back in 4 years and beat Neil's record. That's when I'll be rejuvenated. I will finally have recovered and rested from my 150 stream challenge and be ready to do it in another college duration.
What's your channel called so everyone can hop over there? We're doing it. We're going to go live in like 30 minutes though. So not immediately.
Oh, okay. Okay. There you go. Neil, come on, buddy. If you're going to start,
you know what? I couldn't remember my YouTube channel name either. So I can't blame him.
Hey God, I think you sent me a link. I'll post this in the chat here. Here it is. The channel name is also Neil. I can give you a YouTube tip. If you had your settings enabled for me to give you a redirect, I could have gone in and had this stream when we're done automatically redirect to yours, but you don't have those permissions enabled. There's the link to the stream. Brian, you also, one of the things you're going to be showing off while you sit there silently on his stream are some updates to the draft caddy.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to run through the draft caddy a little bit and then fire our draft. Should be a small update today or tomorrow too for that. The auto drafter, it's just like way faster.
Mm.
So it doesn't like scroll through all the names.
Mm-hmm.
Which I, cause I want it where like, even like you might want to use the auto drafter just like for what, if you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
There's like a reasonable pick there for you. But it's not intrusive too. Like you don't, cause you don't want it messing with you cause you're hand building. Right. So that's well, I'm kind like, of the end goal.
Yeah. Which it, no, cause I am, would be right in that demographic and that like my Best Ball Mania drafts or any of my other drafts, higher price points than that, like I'm going to enjoy drafting them, kind of hovering them. But then they, you know, they just dropped a really good $3 20 max, contest. But I'm not going to have time like to draft those, but maybe if I had like the auto drafter and I'm working on another project writing and I just kind of have it up on the side in tandem while I'm multitasking, that would certainly help in those kind of instances.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've seen you like almost time out a few times though. So like,
I'm sure
if you got like, even if you are concentrating, why not just have a guy there? So you're not drafting like a second QB in the third round or something, you know, like,
you know what you're actually doing with this product? You are killing the star method. Davis Maddox's beloved child.
Which because, is what?
So Davis's advice, which has gone horribly for many individuals, is, yeah, you like, say you take Justin Jefferson in round one. You all of a sudden you go and you put Jordan Addison, you put J.J. McCarthy, T.J. Hawkinson. But what happens is it then, if you mess up or you time out, you're getting J.J. McCarthy in the third round. And I've heard many horror stories of the star method. What you're saying is with this, you don't have to worry about getting auto drafted your guy that too early.
Yeah. Because it's going to use like the draft capital calculation and the star method. I've done that before. It should be like, there should be like two, like you should be able to like double click, like click it again. And instead of going like yellow, it turns gray. And so like it's on there, but it's like a backup. And it's just really for memory purposes.
Do you know what it needs? What it actually would be functional? And I think some fantasy applets have this. It's two different things. There's a queue, which we already have, and then it's a watch list. That's actually what the star method should be for, is this watch list where I want my queue to be used for my queue, that's where picks are going to come from. But then as I'm scrolling through the list of available players, I would like a star next to it. So you get the star, the benefit of like, oh, this is a guy I should be interested in, without him having to be in your queue in the threat of him accidentally getting drafted too early.
Well, we have that on the app. It highlights
the
correlation of the players, the whole player's box get highlighted. So that's already kind of on there, but yeah, we could add more stuff like that too. Like if you wanted more highlighting, more specific.
Well, I guess it would be if there was someone that you wanted highlighted that didn't fall into the auto highlight. Like if you were just like, this guy's mispriced by two rounds, I want to keep make sure he's highlighted in here, even though I don't have his quarterback or whatever.
I don't know if we could even do this, but I would want it more. I would want like an extra cue box because I need to like bring that guy over to remind me like what his rank is and stuff like that. And like, instead of scrolling through, you know, I'm not going to remember to scroll down or something. So I just want like all the correlation guys and the value guys or whatever. So then I could have them and, you know, just see them right there and compared to what pick I'm taking and and stuff like that instead of in the player list.
Yep. Also, this reminds me, I do have a new video that dropped yesterday on the Deposit Kingdom channel. I went through and figured out both a combination of guys whose ADP is already moving and guys I anticipate their ADP to rise over the next couple weeks, and put them all into a video and kind of went through where I predicted their ADP will be. And then you can kind of use, basically there's three data points: starting ADP, the average of their rank from ETR and Legendary Upside, so trying to hint at their true value, and then my predicted ADP. And then you can use that to kind of triangulate, how can I get these guys before other people, but still get them at what will be closing line value by my estimation. So I put 22 players in there, and I'm going to have another video coming out hopefully tomorrow. That's the inverse of that, the fallers, guys you shouldn't touch in drafts right now until their price actually settles at a more palatable price point.
Interesting. Cool. Yeah.
Yep. That has been a helpful exercise for some of these early drafts. But otherwise, check out Brian on Neil's show here. I dropped the link in the chat. If you are audio listeners, you can find that over on Neil's YouTube channel as well. I did confirm it's called Neil Orfield, if you search Neil Orfield there. Anything else, Brian, from you before we get out of here?
No, that's it. You can get the DraftKitty, my site, brick75.com, if anyone's interested.
We should do a draft on Lulz one of these next few weeks. Maybe we could start our little bankroll challenge, maybe the big dog. Go. We could figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate you all. Good luck in your head-to-head skee-ball matches at DNBs. Until next time, for Brian, I'm Pete. This has been Lulz, and we'll catch you around.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.